is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
Okay, I'd like to, our first talk is going to be on summer pruning and possibly a few other things if he feels like throwing them in.
We'll open it up for questions too.
And this is Dave Provost from Morris Nursery.
Good morning, thank you for inviting me. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I've been a nurseryman for over 35 years. I was a landscape contractor for more than 10 years. I started in the nursery business like a lot of other kids and as an after school job at 15 years old. Are you having trouble hearing me? Just a second.
Oh, we're
going to
have a move up.
Is there, can you hear me? Can you hear me back there, ladies? Yes? Okay. Because I can speak, I can be loud. I was also in the Army, I was a drill sergeant.
Oh.
So I can be loud. I have some handouts here, if any of you like them. On backyard orchard culture, it has some things on summer pruning that's put out by Dave Wilson Nursery, and I'll leave these here for you folks. I've also been a member of the American Rose Society for the past 25 years or so. I was the manager of Morris Nursery for 27 years. This year I became another carryout boy because I'm semi-retired. I work only a couple of days a week and spend the rest of my time fishing and gardening. So, very enjoyable. It's about time, huh? Okay, summer pruning. We do it for a number of reasons. We want to set the tree size. It's much easier to do this in the summer than in the winter. You can see with everything, with the leaves on, everything on there, you can see what the tree looks like. Sometimes with no leaves, the tree gives you a feeling of balance, but it's not really. So summer pruning is a much easier way to get rid of also a lot of growth without a lot of work. In the summer, typically this is the only tool you use. In the summer pruning, I really don't use a loppers or a saw. I'll just use a hand pruner. Cool. Because you're not taking the big branches away. You're taking away some of the new growth that is in the wrong place, pointed the wrong direction, and a various number of other reasons. So, but my main, years ago, let me go back. Years ago, we would not consider summer pruning. I'm talking 20, 30 years ago. Oh no, you don't prune in the summer on your fruit trees. You wait till the winter and then you prune. Well, then every winter, the tree would have so much stored up energy that you would get new growth 8 to 10 feet in the spring. And that growth tip would not have fruit on it that year, of course, because it was the wrong year's growth. But the next year it might, but again, your fruit's going to be 15 feet off the ground. And yeah. Myself, I do not get a ladder to pick a peach or a nectarine. I will not. I want my fruit between 7 and 7.5 feet maximum. That's because I'm 6 feet tall, so I can reach that fine. I will not get on a ladder to pick that fruit, even apricots. Cherry's the only thing I will get on a ladder to pick. But so I want my fruit down here. So I want my fruit from 2 feet off the ground to 7 feet off the ground. And so with summer pruning, you take away that vigor and that all that energy that has been stored for the winter. When you prune in the summer, now this peach tree here has been one of my helpers pruned this tree about a month ago. So you can see how there's new growth again.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Already. Yeah. So when we did the summer pruning, there's already new growth. Now, a peach only forms fruit on the previous year's new growth. So you want to have plenty of new growth, but you don't want it to be 7 feet long, just growing and long like this, because the tree cannot support 5 pounds of peaches out at the end of this little branch. It'll just break, and then it's no good, period. So we want to take these back. Now you look for a bud above a node, and you all know what that is because you're master gardeners, that points outward. And we know why, because we want the growth to stay out of the middle. So actually he left this. I'm going to get rid of it because I want the middle gone. So
yeah, some people are just public.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Within this, behind this leaf on this branch, behind the leaves, is a little bud that you can see. It's a little bump.
Yeah.
And that's a node, and that's going to send out the new growth. If I prune above the nodes that point inward, the new growth's going to come inward. If I prune above the ones that go outward, the new growth goes outward. This gives us on a peach tree a nice vase shape. It allows the sun to ripen throughout the tree, yeah, to ripen the fruit that will form. Now, also what you want to do, here we've got two branches that are just side by side. No point. So we get rid of one. Here again, got one that's now. This is a young tree. To me, this tree is ready. We might just take off a couple more things. This tree is ready to go for next season. It will have fruit on this branch, on this branch, on this here, 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 because those are all new. So it will have a nice number of fruit, but they won't be so much now. On a peach tree, we'll just discuss a peach for right now, or nectarine, 2/3 of the fruit is going to be formed on the middle 1/3 of the branch. So as a result, I don't ever let mine be long, because there's no point in it. The fruit that's going to be out at the end is going to be extra. So I cut a lot of times, and you can, in the winter, when I do winter pruning, I'll take my branches back, half to half, because then I'll only have a small amount of fruit, maybe 2 fruits on a small branch like this. Then I've done my thinning without having to go through and do all the thinning in the spring. I've done most of my thinning from pruning. So, is there a place I can put this?
Oh, just right here. Okay, yeah, thanks. That's perfect.
So a young tree like this is fine. When you have a bigger tree, like the one over there, I would walk around the tree first and survey what doesn't need to be there. And then I would take away the outer branches, especially ones that are going straight up. Like you have a side branch like this and you'll have little branches going straight up. You take some of those away. You don't need all of them. You can thin out these branches because you want to have more, better airflow is a big reason for summer pruning, is better airflow through the tree. Okay, let's set this aside. Then you would go and take on a tree, on an established tree, then I would go and take away some of the top. And then I would take out the middle. And that's generally a great way to do it. Go around the outside. So you take away the outside, take out some of the top, then take out what wants to grow up through the middle. There's always going to be new growth that wants to grow up through the middle because that's where the sun is. There's sun in the middle, so there's going to be new growth wanting to grow up through there because it wants to grow into the sun. Your growth always wants to be into the sun, so it's going to want to grow up through the middle. But you don't really want that on a peach tree, nectarine, plum, apricots, a little different. Another reason for summer pruning, now a gentleman asked me about apricots. And a problem that has been around the past few years in particular with young apricots is a disease called bacterial canker or bacterial blast. And it gets in, the pathogen comes, is airborne, comes into the tree through open wounds. So if you prune your apricots in the winter, young apricots especially, in the winter, you have open wounds that, especially when frost, and here in Sonora, you have more frost than we have down in the valley, this pathogen is able to enter the branch through that open wound. So we recommend pruning apricots in the summer because then the cells have plenty of time to seal themselves before we get to any frost or anything. So this includes apricots, apriums. This is a pluot, which is again a apricot hybrid. And even some of the nectarines have been susceptible, but I wouldn't worry so much about that. But it's especially the plumcots, apriums, apricots, pluots. They have that problem. And we have a problem at the nursery. We lose a few trees every year, young trees, second year especially, to bacterial canker. It's evidence on a young tree. It will leaf out in the spring. Then suddenly it just start dying back, and then on the trunk will be orange or white opaque sap coming out, not clear, but colored and solid, and it's generally fatal to the tree. Usually we see that. Sorry, the tree's done. It you try to save it. I've tried it myself. Tried to save them. Cut them back. Nope, they don't come out of it. They're done. So just remember that with apricots. Was that what you were concerned about with apricots?
Yeah, just the fact that apricots shouldn't be pruned in the winter, but in the summer when it's dry, we've had a lot of those. Dieback in Tulare County.
We get a lot of it. We're seeing more and more every year.
Cherries too.
But any Prunus species is susceptible to this, which are apricots, plums, peaches, nectarines, cherries, and almonds. I think it really was started with the almonds more than we saw it anywhere else. We'd see it in almond orchards, just trees would just suddenly die, and it was put up. It's also called bacterial blast, but summer pruning will help considerably with that situation.
Can I?
Yes, sir.
I cut my apricot tree out.
Okay.
And now it looks like all the way to the ground.
Okay.
And now peach.
Yes.
Things are gonna, so it must have been grafted on a peach.
Yes.
I can't wait till I see that peach.
You don't.
No.
Cut it and get rid of it.
Get rid of the whole root.
The question is, he had an apricot tree die down. He cut it down to the ground. He's got peaches coming up. Mm. Almost all the rootstock used on Prunus species is peach rootstock. However, it is not a peach that you're going to want to eat. It is going to be probably a green fruit about this big that will give you a real stomach ache if you eat it. Okay? Get rid of it. It's you can just chop those off as they come up. It's rootstock peaches, rootstock of most anything is not a quality. It's a, what it is, it's grown for a strong rootstock. It's grown for strong roots. It's not grown because it makes good fruit. That's why you don't take this seed from your peach tree and plant it, because when you plant that seed, you can get anything from the parentage that goes, the hybridization that goes all the way back. So, and 90% of it's not going to be good. 10% of it, once in a while, 10% of the time, you can get something good. So, tip, that's why we graft trees. So that they'll be strong on a strong rootstock. And we use different rootstocks for different soils. In the valley, on a peaches and almonds and stuff, we use mostly Nemagard rootstock, which is one that, that's great, better for the sandy and stuff. And in heavy clay soils, they use a different one. So I won't go into that anymore, but just suffice it to say, not good. Okay. We're going to just do this. This is a pluot, I think, right, that I brought with me too here.
You mentioned a plum cart. What's the difference between a pluot and a plum cart?
The Sagers, who are the world's largest hybridizers of fruit trees in Modesto, are the ones who invented all of these. So first he came out with a plum cot. And what's the difference? Not much, really, because that's a plum apricot cross with still more plum than apricot, where you have apriums that are more apricot than plum. They're brilliant at making these different trees, but it gets confusing sometimes with what's the difference between a plum cot and a pluot. 25 years ago, no one knew what pluots were. We couldn't sell them. We'd bring in 20 trees a year. We couldn't hardly sell them. Now, everybody knows pretty much what pluots are, and they're one of our most popular trees. But see, we walk around this. We've got some nice branching out here, but we've got too much up in here, especially this one right here. So we open the center up some. We can get rid, take these down a little bit. This one here is just going to go back in the middle. When he pruned initially, it caused this. And usually, we might come back and do this in the winter, but since I'm here, we're going to do this now. We'll get rid of some of these extra branches. On a young tree like this, we want to have it pretty open. I want to have that center opened up. Now we have kind of a nice little, very nicely balanced little tree. And you see that this, when the sun comes in, the center is going to be open. It's going to fruit all around. On a young tree like this, let it have some fruit, but be careful you don't overdo it. A young tree in a second year, like this will be next year, I would let it have 25 fruit, maybe. But not 50 or 70 or whatever, because it'll just take all the energy to make the fruit, and your fruit won't be of any size. So remember, thinning fruit makes a huge difference. My next door neighbor planted a nectarine, and just let it grow. And so this year it's about 3 or 4 years old. It's about 18 feet tall, 15 feet wide, with long branches, and several hundred fruit about that big. My nectarine that's the same age that I have at the nursery, that one of the boys and I have some trees that we have planted, that we keep small. It's no taller than this, and it's also against a fence, so it's not a espaliered, but it's kept narrow. It had maybe 200 fruit like this. And the tree is going to be able to produce the same poundage of fruit. So you can have 400 this big or 200 this big. And I much prefer to have 200 this size than 400 little guys. Okay, so fruit trees, generally we do this for summer. I notice you have grapes. On grapes in the summer, you want to thin out some of the leaves, thin out some of the branches to allow better airflow around your grape clusters. Because when you're, if you have too much leaf and stuff around the grape clusters, you end up with a lot of powdery mildew. The more airflow you have, the less powdery mildew you're going to have, because we have a certain we have the moisture in the morning, but in the afternoon we generally have a little breeze that dries things out. So if you get that breeze going through, it will keep your clusters dry, and the moisture between the each berry will be dried out better. If it's filled in and the grapes can't get that breeze, they're going to get the mildew, and then you have to be sulfuring all the time. And you end up, most people don't, in a home garden, don't sulfur the way they should and really take care of grapes. Are a lot of work if you don't really do basic things to help them out. Okay. Any questions so far? Yes, sir.
Let's see, ultra dwarf and dwarf trees. What's the difference between ultra dwarf and dwarf?
To be honest with you, I'm not sure about ultra dwarf. What they do with dwarfing depends on rootstock. The upper part of the tree is the same, but it's the kind of rootstock that they have developed that causes the tree to grow. Like semi-dwarf is generally two-thirds size of a full size. Then there is what's called miniature, and these have been developed that actually are by themselves. You see that in peaches and nectarines especially, that now there's miniatures that grow 5 feet tall and that's it. Cherries, they keep trying to grow, make a cherry and an apricot on a dwarfing rootstock that will keep down to 6 to 8 to 10 feet. So far I haven't really seen one that will stay at that amount. In citrus is where it really comes into, people talk about semi-dwarf, true dwarf, and all this. Not a big difference. It just depends on what rootstock they're using. So there's ultra dwarf. I haven't heard that term yet myself. So, but true dwarf, semi-dwarf, miniature, those are all terms that we use. But a lot of times there's not a big difference between, especially in citrus, between what they call true dwarf and semi-dwarf. Okay. Yes.
We have a lot of fire blight in pears and some Jonathan apples, and we try to get rid of it by pruning back in winter pruning, 6 or 8 inches below, sterilizing the loppers each cut. But would summer pruning be beneficial for fire blight in the same way it is for the apricot Eutypa dieback? Because there won't be an open wound in the winter for the blight to attack it.
The fire blight doesn't come in through a wound like that. It comes in through the flowers. That's why typically you're going to see the fire blight start at the tip, because it comes in through the flowers. It's brought from tree to tree by pollinizers. Bees, wasps, flies, birds can all transfer that fire blight pathogen from one tree to another. Then within the tree, when it rains, the droplets of water can bounce from one to another, and you can get it spread that way.
So when you prune, has no bearing on how much blight you get?
Not particularly. Still, the best thing that I found, the easiest, is the copper sulfate. Used it like it's very low rate. I think 1 to 2 teaspoons in bloom.
Is it dormant? As a dormant spray,
in the beginning, 10% of bloom, and then again in full bloom. So, apples, everything's about in bloom. you know, like what we were talking before, earlier about the codling moth too. Everything happens in bloom. Okay, some other things that we like to do summer pruning. Hydrangeas. I get this question all the time. My hydrangeas didn't bloom this year. I say, when did you prune them? Oh, my gardener pruned them in the winter. Well, he pruned off all your fruit, your flowering wood. So after your hydrangeas are done blooming, which is typically now, now's the time to prune them back. And then you get new growth, like we have on peach or whatever. You get enough new growth that that's where your fruit, your flowers will be next year. If you prune them in the winter, there's certain hydrangeas you can do this. The totally deciduous paniculatas and stuff, you can do that in the winter. But if you prune them after the bloom, cut them back. You can cut them back fairly severely. I don't usually cut mine too severely because I still want them to be green. I don't cut them back to where there's no green. So, but you can cut back. You can take individual branches back further. And let new growth come easy. One way I do it with a hydrangea is I go the outermost branches, the branches that stick out the furthest, I cut those back further. Then I take the next ones and cut those back. So I make the plant smaller, but it still looks fairly full, if that makes sense to you, hopefully. Lilacs. Now up in the foothills, lots of lilacs. If you need to prune those, prune them in the summer, because that will get enough. You'll get a little bit of new wood, and it will set your buds for next year. If you prune them in the winter, you cut off your flowers, because the buds are set in the fall. Wisteria, another one. You can cut back in the summer. Cut back anytime, wisteria. If you know wisteria, yeah, cut it anytime. Yes. Other deciduous shrubs, forsythia, spirea, things like that that bloom in the spring. You want to prune them in the summer, so that you don't cut off all your flowers. It's very common. It's every year I get this question. You've cut off all your flowers in the winter. Simple. Camellias, another one. Prune after the flowers, which generally is not summer. Azaleas, you prune, that'd be late spring, early summer pruning on those typically for flowers the next following year. Okay, one thing that probably will surprise you, Japanese maples. This is the time when they're actually kind of dormant, is in the late summer like this. In the winter, they're actually not dormant. And there was a thing where could you prune a maple in the winter and actually have it bleed to death because it's running sap in the winter? I don't think that can ever happen, but this is a great time to prune your Japanese maples as well. Again, the one caution I have with something like that is do not prune a canopy that leaves an understory subject to full sun, that was in the shade before and now it's in the sun. Be careful with that. And that's one reason I don't like people to prune or hedges or anything like that in the summer. Just let them be, because you've got new growth up here that is shading this growth under here. You cut that off, the next day it's 110. This is all fried, because it was in the shade and now it's in hot sun of 110 and it's not happy. So most evergreen shrubs, don't prune in the summer.
You've been listening to Over the Garden Gate, a program presented by the UCCE Master Gardeners of Tuolumne County. I'm Linda Reevely. Thank you for being with us.